How's everybody doing this evening? Good, good, good. Got some good rain today, and can't remember, did we get any last night? I think maybe a little bit of rumbles I heard. But certainly got some good rain today, and Lord knew we needed it for our dry, dry ground. So I have one for you tonight. Story I heard today. I kind of like to have something to open the services with on Wednesday nights. You will not believe this. So, Christian radio station, the Joy FM, J93.3. Man says that he heard a story recently of a girl who had a stroke. Not really sure the age. I'm thinking maybe, I don't know, my age, let's just say. She had a stroke, and they thought she died. Okay, so, in fact, he said that they actually pronounced her dead. They thought she died and pronounced her dead. They were having her funeral. Okay, and 20 or 30 people were there. The minister was there, and they heard something in the casket moving.
This wasn't in our book.
Couldn't have been. What now? Ecuador. And come to find out, the lady, was alive, and she was barely living. They brought her to the hospital, and that's the end of the story, as far as I know. Now, I've worked in the funeral home business. Okay, I believe God can do anything, but I have worked in the funeral home business, and I know how they prepare bodies. And it is impossible with the biology of the body to live after being embalmed. Don't know if she was getting cremated. Like I said, it's in Ecuador, so they probably do things different in Ecuador. Yeah, they probably don't. But now I can see that happening there. What's that? Knocking on the casket. That's just... Oh, yeah. I heard that going down the road, and Lily and Charisse, we were out running a couple errands, and I just could not believe that. That was just, I don't know, it just blew my mind. But anyway, so I thought you guys might like that to start the service tonight and in some strange way. But anyway, it is good to be here. We are at the midweek point already. Seems like we just had Sunday services. But it's good to be here. Good to see all of you. Thanks to those watching on Facebook, those who watch faithfully every week. We appreciate you. And those listening on the live stream as well. We will jump right into things tonight. Let me just give you a reminder of this coming up Sunday. Sunday morning services only. Father's Day, of course, having off Sunday night. And we're going to conclude our message. We started this past Sunday morning. What kind of church would my church be if everybody was just like me? And so I normally like to preach a message that accommodates the holiday, but sometimes it don't work that way. And so we're going to finish this message up on Father's Day this coming up Sunday morning. And again, no services on Sunday night. And so remember that. And, of course, looking ahead a little bit, but just to throw out the reminder of the ladies' prayer brunch on July the 13th. Have we decided on a time yet on that? Or 11 o'clock. Yes, you have decided. I remember now. 11 o'clock, Miss Marianne Sandby's house. And so remember that. This will be a great extension of the church and ministry. And that'll be a wonderful thing. And so remember that. All right, just to run down our list of prayer requests and different things. Miss Shirley wanted us to continue to remember Brother James. James Townsend is just not feeling well, just not getting over some things that she thought he was and that he was hoping that he was. So remember him. Nancy Farmer, she have her cataract surgery today? How'd she do? She did good? Good. Good. So glad to hear that. And Miss Claudia Darby, continue to remember her. Bobby McClendon, I talked to him yesterday on the phone. And he's just going through the process and going to different doctors. Of course, a blood doctor as well. But he's slowly getting his strength back. The doctor said it could be, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, something like that. And so, but he is getting it back little by little. But I'm glad he is getting it back. So let's remember him and Miss Nancy. Dawn Capistrano, she has a surgery coming up. Looks like the, either the 1st of July or sometime in August. She didn't give me a specific date on that. But let's remember Miss Dawn. Brother Harold with his 3 MRI appointments is what I have on my paper that he told me June the 15th, 19th, and 22nd. Don't know if it's going to be MRIs all 3 visits. I'm pretty sure 1 or 2 and then maybe a follow-up to see exactly what the readings show. So remember Brother Harold, and let's remember everyone on our prayer list, our children's home. Remember tonight those, our young people downstairs, our teachers that are teaching. And so let's remember all of them. I do want to say that today is Cheryl Millwood's birthday. And so I'm not sure if Cheryl watches or not, but if she does, happy birthday, Cheryl. We appreciate you and love you. And then it's Chuck and Cece's anniversary. And so we love you guys, appreciate you. You're an awesome couple, and we just appreciate who you are and for allowing the Lord to use you like he has here at Calvary. All right, I'll open up the floor, and maybe someone has a prayer request, an update, a praise. Miss Marianne. Okay.
A 6-year-old, and she was dehydrated, and she was running a fever.
Mm.
They had her at the hospital today. I don't know if she's still there, but they were giving her intravenous.
Okay.
So, what do you think?
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. Hassan? Remember this one tonight. Thank you for sharing, buddy. Anyone else?
Unspoken.
All right, unspoken tonight. All others? Absolutely.
Denver, our friend that was in the mother's.
Yes.
10, 11 weeks ago. He's improving, and he's moved now from the Windy Hill Hospital to the one down the street here that this barber's in, and he's going to start working on walking. Because his pelvic is all crushed.
Yeah.
So he's coming.
That is great. That is great. Thank you.
Pray for him.
Sure.
Denver.
Did Angela have her surgery yet? Oh, well, they need to work that out, don't they? Absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's remember Jeff's sister-in-law, Angela, in our prayers with her heart condition and surgery that she needs to have. And let's remember Fletcher Denton, who's... where exactly is Fletcher at? Do we know? I believe someone. Is it a memory? Okay. Really?
Yeah, it's a very nice facility.
Is it some kind of care facility?
Yes.
Okay. Let's remember him. And also Miss Mary Kelly.
Mary's in.
She's in.
I just stopped by before.
Oh.
So
okay.
She's tired.
Yeah. Mary Kelly is over here at Bethel. And so let's remember her there. But then, let's see, Dorothy, Tracy Reese's mother, she's at a Hiram Memory Care place. I'm not really sure the name of it, or she's going to be. But let's remember her in our prayers as well. Anyone else? All right.
So it's much better and older.
Moving on up.
Just very thankful.
Praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
Moving on up in numbers. That's wonderful. Anyone?
Said that was good for 7.
Oh. Yeah. We'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyone else? I want to ask you to remember Brother Jeff, as he goes on Friday to the commencement night of Calvary Grace Baptist Church. I'm thinking about Grace Christian Academy. I'll be going with him, and Miss Misty Brown from Grace has asked Brother Jeff to do the commencement night with his chalk art, and like we did here downstairs, and like he did up here. And of course, I'm going to be doing some reading of verses as he chalks it out. And so remember both of us, but definitely remember Brother Jeff, as he's the artist for the evening. And it's going to be a house full, I'm telling you. Spotlight on you, on both of us, I guess. Lord, my hands, control my hands. But it's going to be a great time. And if you'd like to go and attend and be part of that, I actually have to give you a time on Friday. Do you know, Jeff? I want to say 6:15. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's right. So that'll be good. That'll be good. All right. Anything else? All right. Let's have a time of prayer together, and pray for these that we mentioned. Pray for those downstairs, and pray for the lesson tonight. Brother Jeff. Bring them in. That is the challenge, but that's the call, is to bring others in to God's house that it may be full. Like we shared Sunday night, where's all the people? And we know what's taking place on the, well, during this church age, we know. We're not going to reiterate all of that like we did Sunday night, but the church is up against a lot, but Jesus is the head of the church, and he's overcome the world. And so we're winners either way, aren't we? And so we appreciate the Lord tonight. Appreciate the song, Brother Jeff. All right, make your way, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to keep it simple tonight and bring one of those lessons that's to be practiced, one of those practical practicing lessons. It's going to be a word of encouragement, but also a challenge to all of us. The lesson will be tonight. I do want to say this before we read our verses, which is going to be in chapter 2, verse 3 through 7. We know this is the epistle of Paul that's to Timothy. We know that Timothy, being a young man and heading into the ministry, of course, Paul writes two books to him concerning the ministry and concerning his young life. And he mentions all kinds of things. But this book isn't just for Timothy, it's to all of us. You know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for many things. So from Genesis to Revelations, as you already know, Genesis to Revelation, everything is for us. Now, this book is to Timothy, but it's for us, so we definitely can benefit from it. And so in chapter number 2, notice if you would, in verse number 3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." Then he says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." So we're going to stop reading there in verse number 7. I want to call your attention to verse number 3 and 4. Paul uses the word soldier here, and in reference to Timothy. He says in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." That latter part of verse 4 says that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Again, this is for all of us, and tonight I want to speak on the subject of a soldier of Jesus. A soldier of Jesus. Again, we're keeping it simple, but yet right down where we all are each and every day, we are on a battlefield. We war and we wrestle, and the Bible tells us that we're a soldier. And I'm glad tonight that I'm a soldier of Jesus. Aren't you glad you're a soldier of Jesus? He's our captain. He's the one who gives us the orders, marching orders. He's the one, it's under his banner that we march and we fight. And I'm glad there's no other person in control of my life other than Jesus. There was a time in my life where the devil was in control. And I'm glad that he's not in control anymore. And now that Jesus is in control, and now that Jesus is my captain, he's your captain, then we have to assume the role of a soldier. And we know when it comes to battles and wars, the movies you may have seen, the things in life you may have experienced concerning wars. I think about our vets and those who've given their life even on those fields. Then you got to think about being armed. You got to think about your offensive weapons. You got to think about strategy. You got to think about, you know, even just making it through the soldier war scene. And so tonight, what I want to do is I just want to go through verse number 3 down to verse number 7 and just mention some things about this soldier of Jesus being a soldier for him. Again, whether we realize it or not, we are in a spiritual battlefield. We're on a spiritual battlefield, and the enemy of our soul is waging war against us and all of God's soldiers. And so tonight, with that said, I just want to give a word of encouragement, but also a challenge to you and I. Number one, as we look at the topic of a soldier of Jesus, in verse number 3, we see that we're to endure hardness. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And so if we're going to be this soldier and even be a good soldier, then we're going to have to endure some things. I'm not speaking to a crowd tonight that hasn't ever endured anything. You guys, in your faith, in the trials and times of adversity, of testing that you've been through in your Christian experience, you can say you have endured some things. And because you endured those things and didn't give up, didn't grow faint and weary within yourself, and you didn't give up, you learned some things. You matured even as a believer. And because of that, while the Bible says that you're a good soldier. And so we all have endured some things. We all have endured times of hardness. But there's future times of hardness that we're going to be called upon to endure. Now, the words endure hardness here, it means to just undergo hardship. It means to bear up under. You going through anything tonight that's a load in your life? Is there anything you're experiencing? Is there anything that you have anxiety over? Anything pressing against your mind and your heart? Anything you're struggling with? Well, the Bible tells us to just undergo hardship. The Bible doesn't tell us to thrive during hardship here. But it does say endure hardship. I don't know about you tonight, but when it comes to hardships and my experience of hardships in life, times of hardness, it's hard to undergo some of those things. And there's times where the Lord, I know now, has literally allowed me to wear myself out of trying to get myself out. You could understand what I'm saying. He has allowed me to run out of all my options. He has allowed me in times past to run out of all of my securities, all of my abilities to get to the place of realizing that only he can allow me to undergo the load that I'm going under. And tonight, Jesus, our captain, can enable his soldiers to continue. So what is it tonight that you're undergoing? What is it that is heavy upon you in your life? What is it that you feel like that you may not be able to make it? I want to say it's at that moment when you feel like you cannot make it, there is this experience in your relationship with Jesus, and you find out and figure out that he's the one who is to carry the load and we don't have to. It's a wonderful thing when we get to that place, isn't it? Sometimes people say, "I'm at the end of my rope." Sometimes people say, "I'm at wit's end." Wit's end meaning I can't think of any other solution. I can't think of any other thing to do for this thing to be over with. You're at wit's end. Your smarts have ran out. You may be at the end of your rope, But the thing about it is when our smarts run out and we're at the end of our rope, we bump in to Jesus. And we have many promises to claim tonight that he will take care of us. He won't allow us to fall off the rope. He won't allow us to fall victim to our circumstances as long as we are acknowledging him every day and involving him in the equation. He won't allow his child to suffer beyond a certain degree. And so we see that we are to endure hardness, undergo hardship. And this is the normal Christian life. It is the life of a soldier. It's the life of a soldier that wakes up and comes out of his tent and he gives it a first look early in the morning to make sure there's no enemies already plotting on him. It's the life of the soldier that is keenly aware of his own inability and aware that he has to have his fellow soldiers with him to help protect him. He looks for his captain. He looks for the outlay, the scenery. Make sure his ammunition is ready. He maybe even has woke up where he had to bind himself with a gauze from the night before because he got, shot or stabbed even. He's a wounded soldier sometimes. Sometimes in life, that is us. We get wounded. We get hurt. We try to undergo circumstances and situations that are beyond us. But all the while, we are being trained how to be this soldier that Jesus wants us to be. Oh, listen, whenever he calls our name, punches our ticket, and we go home to be with him, you'll get that reward. You'll get that, a purple heart. What's a purple heart? When you're wounded. Hey, huh? We've all been spiritually wounded down here, facing the world, the flesh, and the devil. And one day when he punches our ticket and we see him, he will give us a purple heart. He will give us an honorable discharge that we were a faithful and true soldier. That's what's been on my heart all day today, is just assuming the soldier role. Why would I not think that living for Jesus wouldn't get hard? Why would I ever think that it's just going to be a smooth sailing life? I ought to wake up every day and realize that there are bullets spiritually flying over my head. I think about some of those westerns and those shows, them bullets go flying, bing, boom, bing, bing. You know, and these cowboys are dodging these bullets and these people are dodging these bullets. When you wake up in the morning, the devil is firing at you. He is shooting arrows. He is emptying everything he has because you are a threat to him. You are a threat to him because you have the gospel message that you could share with others that could save them from going to hell. And so the devil wants you down. The devil don't want you to have joy. The devil don't want you to have victory. He don't want none of those things. Someone said one time that the devil wastes no arrows. And I'll tell you tonight, he has each and every arrow. He licks his thumb and touches the tip to feel its sharpness and counts them one by one. And he says, Jeff Hodges, I'm going to get you today. And he pulls it back and he waits for you to wake up. But little that the devil knows, Brother Jeff has already given his day to Jesus. He's already prayed for his protection. And Miss Sharon as well, and them as a couple. And so he's able to wake up in the morning, and when that first thought of negativity hits, he just throws up the shield of faith. Says, I'm not going to listen to you, devil. This battle's been won. Yesterday was the past. My future's bright. And so that's how it is. In the life of a soldier, we are to endure some things. Endure hardness. I don't like enduring hardness. I don't. I like enjoying softness. Huh? I don't like to deal with hardness. I like to enjoy softness. All right. Don't you like things that are soft? As opposed to things that are hard? And So we see that in verse number 3, a soldier of Jesus endures hardness. But notice verse number 4. A soldier of Jesus stays untangled. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So my second word tonight, my second point tonight is to stay untangled as a soldier. I remember when I was a kid and living in Mississippi, Pascagoula, Mississippi. That's when I first learned how to throw a cast net. And they had what you call a seawall, and I would ride my bike down there with some neighborhood friends and would fish off that seawall. And but I remember one time among many times vividly when I had what they call a bait caster. You hold your thumb on the line, you throw it. One time I threw that line, and my fingers got all caught up. It backlashed and created a what they call a bird's nest. The wires, the line goes everywhere. And my fingers were all caught up in it, just entangled. And every time I tried to pull it out, it just like squeezed the tip of my finger, my middle finger, you know. Just sounds painful, doesn't it? And so eventually I got it all worked out. And this word here where he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself. Entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. What is he talking about? Entangleth himself. It means to entwine or intertwine. It means to be wrapped up in. It means to be involved with. So he says that this soldier is not only one who endures hardness, but is one who stays untangled. What do you mean? It said we're living in this world. Are you telling me that we're not to be involved with this world? I'm not saying that. We are to be involved with this world because we're living in the world. We don't have to be like the world. We are living in the world. But what I'm saying and what I'm gathering from this verse is Paul is telling Timothy to keep the main thing the main thing. Serving Jesus. Living for him. And don't allow the constraints and the anxieties that's from this world system to get you and entangle you and just have you. He says, no man that warreth, no man that's in this battle, that's a soldier for Jesus, entwines himself, involves himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. Now, there's times where things get ugly in this life. There's times where, I mean, look, we have relationships with people in this world that are not saved. There's the job you go to. There's the people you know at the grocery store. There's people and businesses you have to do business with. And sometimes it can get crossways, and sometimes it get difficult. And also there's times with all these people that we have relationships with in this world that it's tempting sometimes to do things the way they do things at their business, at their job. And so the takeaway from that is to keep the main thing the main thing. Is honor the Lord with your life. Live in this world, but keep in focus why you're here, what your calling is, sharing the gospel, and let all them other devices and anxieties just drop, and just don't be involved with them in your life. Don't allow yourself to get connected to something that's going to bring you down. This world is like an octopus throwing out them tentacles with all them suction cups and just trying to, I want to get us on. I want to get Jeff, get over here. All you, Tammy, Glenda, all of y'all, we want to get y'all. It's funny. Christy and some of her friends from Ford Road, they've been celebrating each other's birthdays for like literally 20 years every year. One of the ladies wanted to go watch Little Mermaid. They went to this movie theater in Marietta. You probably heard of it. There's a recliner. There's recliners in there of some kind, leather seats. A waiter, waitress comes to your seat, and you get to order food, and you kick back. Christy sent me a picture. She was kicking back. She was eating dinner. I said, you go, girl. Enjoy that. And I can't even remember, I said that to say this, that Little Mermaid, I remember growing up watching the original, you know, made by Disney, with my nieces and all the others that were my age growing up during that time. And what's the evil lady's name? She's an octopus, isn't she? It's irrelevant to the message, but I just thought I'd. So she's just always just going after that mermaid, going after anybody associated with that mermaid. And listen, it's true. That's what the world wants to do to us. And the one who is energizing the world behind the tentacles, the devil, the flesh, trying to get those long tentacles and drag you into what's going wrong with the business and drag you in with what's going wrong at work and, you know, and all these other things and worry about this and what are you going to do now? And, you know, what we got to do is we got to be like that little mermaid and just swim away. Just don't get involved. Don't get so close to it that it can grab you. Talking about intertwining ourselves with the world. Don't do that, he says. No man that warreth intertangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's just keep the main thing the main thing. I mean, we're not walking around like we're, you know, better than everybody. We just know what to touch and what not to touch, and what to get involved with and what not to get involved with. Let me mention another thing. Not only endure hardness, stay untangled, but there's some comparisons given to this Christian life. I just mentioned one of them. In verse 3 and 4, Paul uses the comparison of a soldier. He says there's bullets we've got to dodge. There's shots we have to give. He says this is a strategic battle we're in. It's a war zone, and I'm your captain, is what Paul says about Jesus. But in verse number 5, he gives a comparison of an athlete. In verse number 6, the comparison of a farmer compared to the Christian life. Is what Paul's doing here. Look in verse number 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The masteries here, this is a comparison of an athlete. We know that an athlete, there's rules, there's regulations. I mean, if he wants to win, our boys been playing today. Our Braves, they probably wrapping up a doubleheader right now. They had a doubleheader today. They won this early, the first game. And last time we heard, they Miss Mary said they were winning when they left the house on the second game. And so these athletes, these, we'll just say, baseball players, I mean, there's rules to the game. I watched, I believe it was, it was highlights of another game, and a pitcher, I can't remember what team it was, maybe for the Cubs, the umpire says, get over here. Give me your hand. He stuck his hand out. Huh? Mets? What did he say? Oh, okay, yeah, go Braves. He said, let me feel that hand. He was feeling that hand. He said, you got sticky on that hand. You know, all, I can't remember the terminology and all that. I can hear it in my head. And so he said, you're out of here. And he said, what are you talking about? I ain't got no sticky on my hand. And he went to the dugout, and the cameraman showed him in the dugout. He was like, "Coach, coach, I didn't do nothing." You know, resin. Is it resin? I think it's there's the bags. I don't know if the bags they got on the mound are resin bags that can toss. But they're not supposed to have any sticky stuff. Because with that sticky stuff, they can grip that ball, and they can make it spin that is almost unhuman. And so there's laws, there's rules within the game of baseball. Especially this year with a pitch clock. Crazy. The batter has to be in the batter's box, ready to hit. By the time that clock gets to before 8 seconds, if it's below 8 seconds, you get a strike. The pitcher has to throw the ball before the clock hits zero. He only gets one pickoff move, I think one or two pickoff moves with a man on base. I mean, and all of this is in the efforts of condensing the game. Normally a ball game is about 3 hours, and the best I've seen one is 2.5 hours. So overall, it looks like it's working, but a lot of players have to adjust. There's just all kinds, you know, there's players of times in the past who tried to use steroids. My goodness, Barry Bonds, Jose Canseco, Mark McGuire, all of those guys, they take them steroids. Alex Rodriguez and all of them, that's why they're not allowed into the Hall of Fame. It's because they juiced up. And when they were on them steroids, they were stronger, they could run faster, they could swing faster, hit harder. And, I mean, it just those guys were just big muscle men standing at the plate. But they were disqualified. Because there are laws, there's rules in the game of baseball. There's rules in football. There's rules in all these sports. If you're an athlete and you want to win, you want to finish well, there are rules. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. And so now he's likening the Christian life to being an athlete. We've got to have self-control. We've got to have endurance. We've got to strive lawfully. I mean, you know, we have to see what God wants us to do. We just can't, you know, jump out of the car and do what we want to do in a given situation. We need to find out what God says. There are rules to follow, principles, principles to go by. Okay? God is not a... He's not up in heaven with lightning bolts in his hand getting ready to throw them at us if we do wrong or mess up or hit a foul ball or something. No, he has given us a book of principles that benefit us and protect us. See, that's what a lot of people think. Lost people, they think, oh, you think you're better than everybody. Oh, the Bible is just a rule book. No, this is a book to help us. This is a book to protect us. And so... this life we live, it's likened to a soldier, but it's also likened into an athlete. Especially back in Bible days when there would be races, they would have them long tunics, and they would have to, you know, pull their dresses up and bind them in their waist belt, those men, so they can run. And if they didn't, why, that long tunic would get intertwined in the legs and cause them to fall and trip. And so they would grab it up and bind it and get on that starting line and run or whatever the game was. And so there's proper ways of running. There's laws in place to strive by. Got to have self-control and all those other things. And so the Christian life is also like an athlete. But then in verse number 6, he uses the comparison of a farmer. He says the husbandman or the farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And so what's the takeaway from a farmer? Well, you know, a farmer, you know, he tills the ground, he plants the seed, he relies on the rain, the crops grow. What would happen? Okay, just say he's growing corn. What would happen if a farmer grew corn and he gathered some corn and went to the Thursday farmer's market where everybody goes and gets their, you know, veggies, and people were passing by, hey, come over here and buy some of my corn. And the person walks up, well, how is it? I don't know. I've never tried it. But it looks good. You know? Or he could have lied and said, oh, it's real good, real good. Deceiving the people because he really couldn't give a full, honest answer. Hey, come over here and try this corn. Come over here and try these apples. These are the best apples. Have you tried these apples? No, I ain't tried these apples. But they look good. And so the idea here is that the husbandman, the farmer that laboreth, must be first partaker of the fruits. He needs to know what he's selling. Some people interpret that verse a little different. But I think that when it comes to the Christian life, if we are going to preach Jesus and his goodness to others, I think we need to have a testimony of that God is good. And come to church, hear the gospel message. We have a lot of people who think they are believers, who think that they're saved, and they're in a situation where someone's asking them about the Lord because they say they go to church, and how is this Christian life? Well, I go to church on Sundays, and I go on Wednesdays, and that's it. Well, hold on, wait a minute. I'm asking you. You know, everybody talks about how good God is and everything. I'm asking you. You go to church. I see you. You tell me about it. Well, all I can tell you is there's a man that stands up and spits and hollers. And, you know, and there's a choir that sings like, you know, that this is their best day in the world. And that's all I can tell you. Or that's someone who's never tasted their own crop. But for us, the comparison given is to that of a farmer. Know what you're selling. Be first partaker of that. Be able to tell somebody about Jesus because you have personal experience. And I'll go a step further. Be able to tell a brother or sister in Christ things that they can do spiritually that you've learned that could help them in their life. You have to be first partaker of the fruits. You know, Paul says in verse number 2, speaking of being first partaker of the fruits, Paul says in verse 2, into things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so most believe that this is probably the ordination of Timothy in verse 2, where Paul is speaking, and a lot of people are hearing among many witnesses. He's probably committing him to the ministry. He's sharing the gospel with him, and he's telling him to commit what he's heard and experienced to other faithful men who will be able in return to teach others also. You know, how am I going to help somebody out with their heavy burden if I know nothing about burdens? I didn't say that, you know, that we have to know everything about burdens and how. I didn't say we have to be perfect in getting rid of our burden, rolling it on the Lord. But what I'm saying is that we have to have some experience in the thing that we're sharing. So Paul is likening this to the Christian life as well, that of a farmer. He says, be first partaker of your fruit. Know what you're sharing, Timothy. And again, the athlete, strive lawfully, Timothy, especially going to the pastorate. You can't just do what you feel. Strive lawfully. Take heed to the words I've given you. And then, of course, the title of the lesson tonight, being a soldier, he says, if you're going to be a good soldier, Timothy, you've got to endure hardness. You've got to remain untangled from the affairs of this life that you may please him who has chosen you to be a soldier. And so we see those things there in verse 5 and 6. Comparisons given, that of a soldier, an athlete, a farmer. And then lastly tonight, in verse number 7, we see something to consider. Verse 7, Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider what I say. The word consider there, or consider what I say, is through the idea of exercising your mind. He says, Timothy, I want you to really exercise your mind, talking about the husbandman and the masteries and the soldier. Think about that, Tim. Think about it, Timothy. Let it run through the avenues of your mind. I want you to consider that. And he says, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And so Paul wants Timothy to exercise his mind to the things mentioned, and the Lord will allow him to see the gravity of them and how to apply what he's been taught here to his life, and how he can benefit from the things that were shared about the farmer, the athlete, the soldier. So Paul says, I just wanted to give you some things to consider, to exercise in your mind and to put it in play. God will give you understanding, and he'll allow you to flesh it out on foot from day to day in your living. Something to consider, comparisons given, stay untangled, endure hardness. And that tonight is the lesson, a soldier of Jesus. And so our goal again tonight was just to encourage and to challenge each and every one of us. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for all things. Lord, we've spoke on this before. It's been a little while, but you've just had my heart today and this week about being a soldier. And then the other things, the farmer, the athlete, and how that we are to really consider these things. And when we're going through hardness, let us think about a soldier in real life, because that's how it is in our spiritual life. And that should help with the whole scenario. Let us think about, Lord, our life as a believer through the eyes or through the comparison of an athlete. God, we got to have self-control. We got to know the limits. Got to know the laws, the principles. And God, help us be partakers, firstly, of your goodness and your word, so that we can share it with others and really, really persuade others by the Holy Ghost conviction of God that Jesus is all they need. We love you tonight. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.